What does it look like to be drawn to Jesus? And what am I thinking about when I think about that? And we're going to start with a text. Why is this not working? Oh, well, Matthew will put it forward for me. John 1. John 1. You know this well, kids. Feel free to listen to this because this is going to relate to what I want you to do in a minute. I do have some stuff here. So it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through Him. And apart from Him, not one thing was created that has been created. In Him was life, and that life was the light of mankind. That light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. So he was pointing to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Next one. He was in the world, and the world was created through him, and yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him, but to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of natural descent or of the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him and exclaimed, "This was the one of whom I said, 'The one coming after me ranks ahead of me because he existed before me.' Indeed, we've all received grace upon grace from his fullness. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The one and only Son, who is himself God and is at the Father's side, he has revealed him." All right, so what I want you kids to do, how many kids we got here? We've got a few over there as well. I have a thing here. Now, the top is kind of a basic kind of idea of, if you can think about your life, the people you meet, the places you go, the things that you do, write them and draw them and put them here. And what these two first ones are, Jesus walks with me. So wherever you are thinking of those places that you've been, the idea is that Jesus is there with you too, right? So what I'm trying to encourage you to is to think of your full life. Wherever you go, Jesus is in that moment too. At the end is a "Where's Jesus?" All right? So this might take some time. And if you'll look at this, you'll see that there are some sort of Hamilton landmarks. It's loosely based on Hamilton. So the question is, can you find Jesus in this picture, all right? The Spirit of Jesus is with us everywhere. Would you like one? I think I've got more than I have children in the room. Would anyone else like to do this because they are fidgets or visual learners and this would help them stay on target and they think they could find Jesus in Hamilton? So anyway, kids, come forward and grab one. Are there any adult hands up who would like to also do this? All the pencils, pens, crayons, etc. are at the back. All right, William, you reckon you can find Jesus?
Probably.
Probably. Caitlin, how are you doing? There you go. One, two, three. There you go, this. Three there for three of you. Of course you can have one for your Nana. Totally. Nana doesn't have to do it if she doesn't want to. So anyway, if you want to try and find Jesus, you're welcome. Judy wants one?
I won't do it now, I'll do it later.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'm going to have to rely on you because this is not working, is it? Oh, hang on. Yeah, all right, that's fine. Just leave it there for now. We live in exciting days, don't we? Amen. Just in the last few weeks, you can actually go to the next slide, we've sent astronauts way out there to do what's never been done before, see the moon from a new perspective. They've officially travelled further than anyone from planet Earth, about 406,000 kilometres, a little over that, which is a fair distance to go to get away from us. They represent something deeply human, the desire to stretch ourselves, to explore, to expand our horizons, to seek truth even. We admire it. We feel it ourselves. We set goals. We chase experiences, travel the world, stand on mountaintops, walk beaches, wander forests. And in part, there is a hope that somewhere out there we will find something meaningful, some new perspective, maybe even find God. And yet, into this very human longing, John opens his gospel with quite a shock, doesn't he? The word became flesh and moved into the village. While our eyes are fixed on the horizon, God quietly moved in next door. The eternal word, the one through whom galaxies rotate on their axes, has contracted himself into one human life, one human village, one family, God with a postcode and an email address. While our spiritual instincts seem to draw us away from the here and now, the God of way out there has become the God of right here. Could it be that God is among us, that he is with us and we don't see him? It wouldn't be unusual if that was the case. They did too. He came to the world did not recognize him. He came to his own people and they did not receive him. We are his own, are we not? Do you have trouble seeing Jesus and recognizing him? This morning, I want to draw your eyes to the Jesus in your postcode. Jesus who draws you not over the horizon to find him, but who is right near you. And we need help. They needed help. Jesus had John the Baptist, the witness bearer, the light pointer, to point out of a crowd and say, there's the man. This is the one we've been waiting for, the promised Messiah. Not over the horizon of the future, but right here and right now. Now, perhaps for us this morning, those four astronauts who've gone well beyond our horizon can be, in some way, our John the Baptist witness this morning. Perhaps they can help us see what is right in front of us, but with fresh eyes. One gift they brought back with them, if you've ever listened to any of their or read any articles about their story and their experiences, is this renewed awe for our little home in this vast universe, our wee human village called Earth. Home is something we take for granted. And people are making plans to populate Mars and springboard into the stars. And yet the witness of our four greatest travelers is there's no place like home. It's a tragedy to take this gift of home for granted, to become bored in our own backyard. And then there's this surprising story emerging from among the crew of Artemis. Have we got another slide there? Is your head back there, Matthew? He's back there somewhere. Next one, please. The story of Commander Reed Wiseman. Not a man of faith, a man of science. An astronaut who does not believe in God. But on his return to Earth, one of the first things he did was ask to see the Navy chaplain, and he broke down in tears on seeing the cross on his lapel. A cross. Not a man of faith. Not because it overwhelmed him, but because it restored him. It grounded him. It anchored him. Having seen things no one has seen before, been overwhelmed by his experiences, having chased over the horizon, it was the sight of a simple, ordinary, humble, seen one, you've seen them all cross, that began to knit him back together. And isn't that just like God who became flesh to save us? Yeah, he's the great God. He is the God of the universe. He is the one in whom the entire expanding universe will never reach the boundaries of his being. And yet he chooses to become small, to meet us as the God of the ordinary. Is it possible that the Son of God, in choosing to squeeze his eternal being into the person of Jesus, willing to be born in a Bethlehem stable, to be raised by a carpenter, to live out his full life in a small, tiny backwater of a nation, in a small corner of the small, tiny backwater nation, whose death on a cross was a mere 8 kilometers away from where he was born, is telling us something about where to look for true life and meaning? Is it possible that the miracle made known by John in this gospel is that to live the God-infused life is not something far from us or over the next horizon, but is being made possible right here and right now? Jesus is God come local. His Spirit, even now, present over every neighborhood, at home in every home, available in the here and now to all who would turn to him. Thus, John's gospel insists that if we are to seek Jesus, we should look around, not up, not out, not far away or some distant time, but here and now. And it's not all. John's gospel also insists that this Jesus of the here and now is all we need. In him, there is no lack. The Jesus you meet in the here and now is the true Jesus, the full Jesus. It's fair enough if you feel let down by this Jesus, that the God of the here and now is not the God you're seeking, because perhaps you feel dissatisfied with here and now. You are largely here and now because you have nothing better to do, nowhere else to go. Which raises a deep question. Are we drawn to Jesus, or are we drawn to the idea of a Jesus who will validate our restless search for more? Do we really want Jesus as he offers himself? Or do we want the God to rubber stamp our ambitions, to approve of our itchy restlessness? Are we seeking Christ, or are we seeking experiences we hope will feel like Christ? How might we live otherwise? Years ago, at a conference in Christchurch on intentional Christian community, Rebecca and I stayed with a pastor called Dwayne. On our first evening, he took us for a short walk around his neighborhood on the way to pick up dinner. It wasn't a casual stroll. He pointed to houses and quietly told their stories: the recently divorced woman, the man battling cancer, the two families from his own church who had moved onto the same street so that together they could serve their neighbors. He knew every corner, every struggle, every joy. Put the next slide up, please, Matthew. Where I saw an ordinary suburban street, footpaths, fences, light posts. He saw a living tapestry of people that God loved. He saw Jesus walking those pavements. He saw the Spirit hovering over those homes. I realized then that being rooted in one place isn't small-mindedness. It's not a lack of ambition or giving up even on the journey of an adventure, an escape from boredom. His life was depth. He was paying careful attention. He was living deeper and richer. It was also a real belief in the incarnation. Dwayne knew intimately the truth of John 1. He believed that Jesus was still the same God who made his home in your neighborhood, in your home, in your workplaces, in your streets, in your local businesses. Isn't it funny that I needed to go to Christchurch to be told to find Jesus at home? I was reminded of this on Monday, taking a walk through my local park, usual route, getting the dog some exercise, and just enjoying why can autumn mornings have a beautiful smell to them? And as I was walking, I had my thoughts on God. I was thinking of this morning, what was coming, and then suddenly, without fanfare and without any fireworks, I just felt him there with me. Walking the same park that I walk all the time. Of course he was. As a believer of what John wrote 2,000 years ago, this is where I should expect to find Jesus, the one who is drawn near to us. As you've been listening, has your heart been yearning for that Jesus of the here and now? John's gospel insists if we want to find him, we don't need to look far, we don't have to look up or out over the next horizon. His gospel insists that the Jesus who comes near is the Jesus who saves. It is the Jesus present to us where we live and as we live, who, as Commander Reed Wiseman found, can truly ground us and anchor us and in fact save us. So if your heart aches for God, as mine does, if you long for something real, as I do, if you're tired of chasing horizons that never really satisfy, then isn't this good news from John? The Word has become flesh. Next slide, thanks, Matthew. God has drawn near. Christ is here in this place. He is with us in this moment and in the boundaries of your life as it is, waiting to be found by those who will simply stop and look. Lord, as I hear those children, the sound of life and of laughter, it is not incidental, it's not a distraction, it's not getting in the way of seeing you this morning. Lord, you are present in their voices. Lord, you are, you're right here now. And lackluster in the life instinct, that draw over the next horizon, that sense when we become bored and lackluster in the life we're living, we think if we just find another horizon, it'll fix it. And you save us from that, and you save us in that. It is still a stunning idea that the spectacular God is more than happy to be present in the mundane. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Did anyone find, any of those kids find Jesus? Have they got up to that point yet? Has anyone found him? No? Oh, look, I played a trick on you. I've probably broken trust now because as a pastor, I told AI when I created it, don't put Jesus in. Not specifically, because he's everywhere. He is everywhere. He is with everyone. He is among all things. You're looking for the wrong thing. Yeah. What kind of pastor am I? Deceiver and a trickster. It was all for a good purpose. Can I ask a couple of people to bring the communion table up, please? There are some very odd pictures in there, by the way. I am sure I'm not alone that in doing something habitually can knock the gloss off it. And I think it's fine and reasonable for us not to have to whip ourselves up into an emotional fervor in order to feel something at a moment like this, right? That if we're going to preach about the Jesus in the mundane and the ordinary, that should mean that every experience doesn't have to be some great high moment. However, is there a way in which we can attend to these elements, this table, these humble, common things? I'm sure it's no mistake that Jesus took these humble, common things and bound them to this amazing story, so that we can do humble, common things and feel his glory in it and experience it in that way. So maybe this morning he will grant us just a sense of that peace and contentment that he is with us in these humble, ordinary things. And as we take them and as we participate in them together as a humble and ordinary church, that is the God life. That is the Christ-like life. Maybe you're drawn to this table in a different way this morning, and that would be a good thing, perhaps. So let me pray, and I'll invite you to come forward. Oh, we're going to do the confession. Thank you. Yeah, thanks, Matthew. Let's do this first, and then I'll pray. Let's stand. Thanks, Matthew. Pop that up. Father God, you are the one who leads us from darkness into light, from captivity into freedom, from anxiety into peace, from despair into joy. Yet we long to break free, choosing independence, convinced of our own wisdom, forgetting your love and grace. Forgive us, draw close to us, embrace us once again in your loving arms, and enable us to follow you in worship and grateful service each day of our lives. Amen. Amen. Lord, we thank you for coming down to us, for drawing near to us, so that wherever we are, whoever we are, we can draw near to you. That being close to you doesn't require some sort of special skill or resource. It doesn't require a rocket to the moon. It doesn't require a spiritual genius or particular intelligence. You are here among us with every one of us in the ordinary. Lord, we receive this incredible gift of your body, your life given for us. Teach us how to live, Lord. Help us to see you here and now. Amen. All right, I invite you to